So this evening we are still examining the scriptures to understand the design God has for us when He brought us into existence. And I told us there is a structure that God has put in place to facilitate how we live on the face of the earth. And we have titled this series, Living from Reality. Glory to God. We took our time to define reality. We also defined facts. And we also defined what a realm is. Glory to God. And then we've taken our time also to begin to itemize the structures and the ordinances that facilitate living from reality. And we said the first is that you have to live by the dictates of the word of God. Because when God speaks, He's not only informing you, neither is He educating you. You will be informed, you will be educated, but when God speaks, beyond information, God is recreating your word. Because the very first time the errand of the speakings of God was communicated in scripture, creation took place. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we saw that the way He created the heavens and the earth was via speaking. Because verse 2 told us that the earth was void, darkness was upon the face of the deep. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord hovered upon the face of the waters. And God said, that was the first time it was recorded that God spoke. And the moment God began to speak, creation began. Praise God. And God said, if you read Genesis chapter 1, you will find, and God said 10 times, and 10 times different realities emerged. So when God speaks, God is creating. And so I said, your reality beyond the things happening around you is the word that you have caught. When you catch the word of God, it can re-engineer your reality. It can re-engineer your frame of reference. And so no believer should live based on the prevalent situations around him. He should live based on the speakings of God. You may be demoted by the standards of men, but the Bible says you are the head and not the tail. Glory to God. By facts, you may be having symptoms of sickness, but the Bible said, by His stripes you are healed. He said, let no one in Zion say, I am sick. Praise God. You may not have money in your pocket at the moment, but the Bible said, you shall lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. Glory to God. So, whatever is happening around you is not your reality. Your reality is what God is saying about you. And so, if you want to live from reality, you must master the act of not allowing your present circumstance to dominate you. Now, I'm not saying you should deny facts. I am saying you should refuse facts from dominating you. No matter what the fact is around you, you must be able to receive the word of God, believe the word of God, and live based on what the word of God says. And not too long, you will discover that your reality will realign with what God says. Praise God. So we said, living from reality, number one, dictates that you must live by the word of God. Number two, we said, in order for you to live from reality, you must understand the legalities of the realm. And then you must superimpose it as your reality. Because when we fell, something happened. And when Jesus came, died, was buried, and resurrected, something else also happened. When God created man and gave him five tokens to define his essence. Number one, Genesis 1:26, the Bible said, and God said, let us make man in our image. The word image is the word Selim. And the word Selim speaks of DNA and glory. So we were created to host the essence of God. Number two, the Bible said, God said, let us make man in our likeness. And the word likeness is the word demoteia, and it means a model. That means man was created to epitomize God's character and the excellencies of God's realm. Number three, the Bible said in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue and have dominion over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So God gave man dominion, the power and the authority for governance. So man was on earth as God's vice regent, his representative with the authority to represent his interest and his government. So man literally was a being of authority. Number four, we said God put the man in a garden called Eden. An Eden beyond the place represents a portal and an atmosphere. That's why God shows up in Eden and it's like he's in heaven. There is literally no record of how he came. He's just there. The Bible just said the voice of God came walking in the garden. Because Eden is an ambience. It's the place of God's presence. So God literally put the man in his presence. That's why when the man fell, the Bible said he was driven from the presence of God. So when he was living in Eden, he was living within the circumference of God's presence. So we said the third thing God gave man was fellowship, or the right to live within and from his presence. Are you following so far? These were the realities of the man. He lived in God's presence. Genesis 2:7, God breathed into the man's nostril and he became a living soul, and God placed him in the garden that he created. So the man lived from God's presence. Physical geography did not define the man's location. God's presence defined the man's location. This is why physical geography could not impact the man's reality. It was God's presence that impacted his reality. In fact, we saw a measure of that reality when Israel left Egypt. They were walking through a very hostile desert, but they didn't feel the heat of the desert. They didn't suffer the lack of the desert, because the presence of God moved with them as a pillar of cloud and as a pillar of fire. So you can have a physical location and you can also have a celestial location. So God's presence was actually man's real location, because man dwelt there. Praise God. And then number 4, 5, we said God intended for man to have his life. Because after God breathed into the man the life that powered his soul, the Bible still said in Genesis 2:9 that God planted the tree of life in the midst of the garden. So God wanted man to eat of the tree of life so his cycle of metamorphosis would be completed. The man would have literally become like God walking on the face of the earth. This was the plan of God. This was the reality of the man. He didn't need to go to school to live it. It was his reality. He just functioned like that. And if you study Adam, in the brief period that he was walking in the excellency of God, you will see him manifest that reality. For instance, God looked at the man and said, name all the animals. What do you mean, name all the animals? Do animals have name? What does name imply? He didn't ask any question. Now, how do I gather all the animals to name them? It wasn't necessary. Whatever he did, whether by the technology of Noah, he called them to himself, or he decided to go to where they were, the Bible didn't record. But at the end of the day, all the animals were named. And they were not just named. The names he gave the animals were the name God wrote when he created the animals. So the man was naturally operating at the mental frequency of divinity. This was his reality. But when the man fell and adopted the way of rebellion, these realities were withheld from him. He no longer had the capacity to walk in glory. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. He no longer had the capacity to model God's likeness and God's excellency. John 8:44. The Bible said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father shall ye do. So now his essence has been denatured. He no longer had the power to demonstrate authority, because he had yielded to the devil. In fact, on the Mount of Temptation, the devil himself told Jesus, bow to me, I will give you the glory of the whole earth. It has been delivered to me. He didn't say, I own it. It was delivered, because it wasn't entrusted to the devil. It was initially entrusted to the man. The Bible said in Psalm 115:16, the heavens belong to God. He said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So the devil knows he was not the original governor of the second earth. The second earth was given to man. So he said, it has been delivered to me. So man no longer had the right to exercise authority. He lost it to the devil. Because the law of the spirit, according to Romans 6:16, says, whomever you yield yourself servants to obey, he said, the servant of him you are whom you have obeyed. So when he obeyed Satan, he lost his authority to Satan. He lost his glory, and he lost his capacity to model God's intelligence and God's excellency. And that's not all. Of course, you saw in Genesis chapter 3 that he was driven from God's presence. So he no longer carried God's presence as an atmosphere that regulated his reality. And of course, he didn't even eat the tree of life. The devil deceived him and he didn't eat it. So upon the fall, his reality was altered. He became a fallen entity. And instead of living from glory, he began to live from condemnation. Instead of living, manifesting God's excellency, he began to model the devil's denatured essence. Instead of manifesting God's authority, he became a slave of demons. Instead of carrying God's presence, he was cut off from the presence of God. And of course, he never took the life of God. And so, everything the man attempts to do in order to walk in the realm of God, the class of God, will be futile, because the legal ground has been withdrawn. The legal ground is the premise that legitimizes action. If the legal ground is withdrawn, you can't carry action. Imagine if you strode into Nigeria from Ghana and then election is going on, you say, I want to be president. The question is, what is the legal ground? You are not a citizen. Now, you can have the credential, mental credential, experience, and everything to be the best president, but there's no legality to support it. So before you talk potential, there has to be legality. The man had lost the legal ground. So when Jesus came, he came to restore the legal ground. And so the Bible showed us the errand of the cross. For instance, like I showed you, on the cross, Jesus took sin so that the man will be given righteousness. So 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said, he made him that was without sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what is righteousness? Beyond the nature, it is the right to stand in God's presence. So the fellowship that was lost, the presence he was evicted from, he has now been legally restored there. That's why the Bible says to come boldly to the throne of grace and obtain mercy. So right now, the legal ground has been restored. I carry God's presence everywhere I go because I have been made righteous. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. So Jesus came to restore legality. Number two, the life he was supposed to take, he didn't take it. But the Bible told us that when Jesus was on the cross, he died our death, so that we will live his life. If you study Romans chapter 6, from verse 3 to verse 5, the Bible told us clearly that when Jesus died, we died with him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he rose from the dead, we resurrected with him. So he literally died our death, so he would give us his life. That's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have quoted it here time and time again. 1 John 5:11-13. The Bible said, this is the record. It said, God has given us eternal life. It said, this life is in his son. It said, whoever has the son has life. And he said, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So the presence that was lost was restored. The life that was lost was restored. The authority that was lost was also restored. When Jesus rose from the dead, in John 20:21, the Bible said he breathed on them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He said, as the Father hath sent me, he said, so also send I you. And we saw the way that errand was passed in Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 19. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. He said, you go in that authority and disciple all nations. So the authority that Adam lost, that removed the legal ground for us exercising authority, was restored in Christ. In fact, in Mark 16, verse 15 and 17 and 18, and then 20, the Bible said, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. And in verse 17, it said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. It said, they shall lay hands on the sick. The sick shall recover. If they shall step upon serpents and scorpions, it shall by no means hurt them. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And then verse 20, the Bible said, and they went. And the Lord confirming the word with signs and wonders following. So the authority they lost was restored to them. And then as if that's not enough, God also restored to them not the presence, not just the presence, not just the authority, not just the life. God also restored to them the DNA of God, or the glory of God that they lost. The Bible said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4, He said, according as his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and to virtue. Verse 4, he said, wherefore, he gave us exceeding great and precious promises that by this we might become partakers of his divine nature. That glorious nature that man lost, God restored it. He didn't just give us life. You don't plant human life in a monkey. The monkey has the nature of a monkey. So beyond the life, you have to re-engineer the DNA. So God gave us back that nature that we lost. He said he made us partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. This is why in John 17:22, Jesus said, Father, the glory that you gave to me, I have given to them. In Romans 8:30, he said, him that he predestinated, he called. Him that he called, he justified. Him that he justified, he glorified. So that nature was restored. That authority was restored. That presence was restored. Everything that the man lost was restored. But the good news here is that Jesus did not just restore. He gave more. He restored what the first Adam lost. And then he added more layers to give us higher grounds for exercise of dominion. Because you know, the first Adam, for instance, was dealing only with the birds of the air. The things that creepeth upon the face of the earth. The things that were in the waters. Now you are dealing with demons. You are dealing with princes in the second heaven. So the authority of the first Adam alone is not enough. So Jesus did not just give up the authority of the first Adam. Otherwise, demons will make a mess of you. Principalities will make a mess of you. So beyond that authority, Jesus gave us more. That's why the Bible said in Ephesians 2:6, it said we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So if you are saying now that man's authority is air, land, sea, you are wrong. Man's authority is not just air, land, sea anymore. Man's authority is now in the second heaven. We now have authority in what? The second heaven. Can I now shock you? Even in the third heaven, we have authority. Because right now, Jesus is in the Godhead as a man. He left the Godhead as the Word of God, but he returned to the Godhead as a man. So man now has a place in the community of the Godhead. The Bible said in Colossians 2, 9 and 10, it said he pleased the Father that in him the fullness of the Godhead should dwell bodily. And in verse 10, it said you are complete in Christ. I am not saying you are in the Godhead, but I am saying you have a representation in the Godhead. That's why Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Whatever they bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever they loose on earth is loose in heaven. Now we can influence things even in the realm of God. You are not excited enough. I know. Some of you, you know, Christians don't take time to meditate. That's why heavy things don't move them. Do you know what happens to a man if they give him a chieftaincy title? He now knows he can influence things in his village. They call for coronation. They call for celebration. They do all kinds of things because he's now an Odogwu. He wears a red cap. He carries whatever. He's shaking like this because he now has influence in his village. You now have influence in heaven, on earth, and in the world beneath. And you did like this. You don't know what you have. Come on, somebody. I can talk now. Heaven will recognize it. Did you read your Bible? When they cast out devils, they came to Jesus and said, the devils are subject to us. Jesus said, that's not the story. You are happy about the wrong things. The devil are beneath you. If they rather rejoice that today your name has been written in the book of life. You have come up. You have entered the God class. You have ascended to a heightened realm. Come on, somebody. These are citizens. He said in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24, you have come to Mount Zion. I live from there now. He said, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem,
to an innumerable company of angels. Next verse, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which is written, are you seeing why we are talking living from reality? The general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things. We are too surrounded to be victims. I told you I won't stare you too much because of the condition of the environment. So when Jesus came, he brought a new ground, a new legality, a new jurisdiction, that all that the first Adam lost is restored, and then beyond that, he brought to you. So Paul was teaching us, and he said, listen, you must make it a point of duty to enter the reality. So in 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 45, Paul began to give you a clear contrast between the first reality and the second reality. He said, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So the first guy was a living soul. He was alive. He said, but the second reality is not just alive. He has the power to impart life. He said, the second Adam, he is not a living soul. He's a quickening spirit. So you are not alive. You can impart life. And if death comes into you, you can stir up. Oh, Marahati. You see why he said, if that same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead lives in you, he said he vitalizes. That means I'm not just alive. Nothing can kill me. I am a quickening spirit. That's why he said in 2 Timothy 1:10, he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I don't just have life. Life is good, but life can be killed. Beyond life, there is a resurrection power. Beyond life, there is a quickening spirit. Beyond life, there is immortality. You know what immortality is? Beyond corruption. When they say you are mortal man, they mean you are a corrupt man. That means your body, a day comes when it disintegrates. But you see, this new man, he doesn't disintegrate. So long as his purpose is intact, he's functioning. When his assignment is over, the Bible said he transits to glory. You leave your body like a mist and you wear another one. That's why Paul said we groan that we might be clothed. Because right now we have two youths. We have two garments. There is the natural garment and there is the celestial garment. He said, absence from the body is not death. Absence from the body is presence with the Lord. See, when they write transition to glory, it's not a cliche. It's a reality. If you understand this, the era of, cancer is over. Oh, my bone is over. Oh, my muscles is over. Anything that goes wrong, the first Adam was of the earth. The last Adam was a quickening. That means your leg needs quickening. Saitakiba parakida talos. Ragagadidata manta. See, when you finish tearing yourself, give command. Hey, bones. Sarita kapa. Take life. Did you not read your Bible? When the last Adam talks, he's releasing life. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. So when my liver does not function well, I don't cry. I'm not afraid. Manderia takatoa, zezezezezina tatatatura, rakiata terosta, bendara. When I finish staring, hey liver, karora tatana, take life, come alive. Hey, halia. At the better altar of prayers, and I just showed them the prayer of faith. You know, people say, oh, these people, they are doing faith miracles. If no man of God prays for the sick again till Jesus comes, miracles will still happen. We don't need to pray for you. We just need to show you the gospel. If we show you the gospel and you engage it, you will become the worker of miracles. I was leading them in prayer and I just switched. And I showed them the principle of faith. And I told them to pray. And they prayed for themselves. And they were getting instant miracles. I don't need to pray for the sick. The reason we do is because of the compassion of God. We are helpers of faith. But even if we don't pray for you, if we show you the... He said, you shall know the truth. He said, the truth shall make you free. He said, if the Son of Man shall set you free, John 8, 32 and 36, he said, you shall be free indeed. You ancient Zion's King, Kadosh, Kadosh, you are mighty on your throne. You see why we praise him? You ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You reign, you reign, you reign. Kadosh, Kadosh. You reign, you reign, you reign. Position in your room and look at him. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. To step down because the weather is well. He said the first man, Adam, 1 Corinthians 15:45, was a living soul. There was a time when you live in the economy of the living soul. He said, but the last Adam is a quickening spirit. Next verse. He said, that which was first was not first spiritual, but was natural, afterwards spiritual. Meaning, the first Adam was a natural man. You leave the economy of the natural man by feelings. Oh, I feel pain. And you go down. He said, but the last one is spiritual. Let no one in Zion say, I'm sick. You live from a higher economy. Now you have included the heavenly dimension. And then he didn't stop there. He now went further. Next verse. The first man is of the earth. He was earthy. He said, but the second man is not just from heaven. He is the Lord. So you have been, your dimension has not been altered. Measures of authority has been infused. You come in heavenly lordship. And so he told us, next verse, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, he says, such are they also that are heavenly. So it's not just about the first and the last. It's about the people after the order of the first and the people after the order of the last. So if the first man was earthy, you had no choice but to be earthy. And if the last is of the heavens, then you too must be heavenly. So you must operate in the order of the quickening spirit. You must operate in the order of the spiritual man. You must operate in the order of heavenly lordship. This is your destination. Verse 49 is my emphasis. Okay, 48. As we have borne the image of the earthy, he said, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. For some, it will happen at rapture. Because if you read to the verse 52, it said, death is swallowed up in victory. But for those of us who know, like Paul, we don't wait for rapture. He said, for this cause we groan, that we might be clothed with our heavenly tabernacle. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2 and 3. That means we can wear it now. For this cause, I can enter through prayer. I can enter through revelation. See Jesus. He kept transiting at will. The Bible said in Matthew 17 verse 2, after 8 days, he took Peter, James and John to a mountain, and as he prayed, he was transfigured before them. So he could traverse the realm at will. Paul said, we groan that we might be clothed. So I don't have to wait for rapture to experience it. We focus and we are conscious of truth and we are clothed. He said in Philemon 1:6 that the communication of your faith should become effectual by the acknowledging. When I acknowledge it, a point comes, my spirit becomes saturated and I break into my reality. We enter by prophecy. Didn't you read your Bible? Dry bones became an exceeding great army. That's why I tell you, don't accommodate what fallen men tell you. You see somebody, they say you are a failure, they start crying. Me? You don't know me. I can't fail. I need another lifetime to be taught failure. Too loaded. I can't fail. He said, whatsoever he doeth, Psalm 1 verse 3, it shall prosper. I'm not prospering because I'm a preacher. If I were not preaching, I will still be global. Whatsoever he doeth. This is what I'm teaching you is not to make you a pastor. It's to make you a witness. You enter the marketplace as a marketplace apostle. You take over. You enter the academia. You take over. This is who you are. Living from reality. I prophesy myself into it. I pray myself into it. I meditate myself into it. He said, this book of the law Joshua 1:8 shall not depart out of thy mouth. Some of you, your mouth is full of complaints. That's why you are not seeing your reality. Thou shall Haggai it. The word is Hagar. Maria Tea Fekiso Sahata. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm taking over. My sons and my daughters come from afar. Strangers stand to build my wall. Strange men come to serve me. I lack nothing. I lay up gold as dust, the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brook. I shall not die. I live to declare the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I shall not fall, for unto him that is able to keep me from falling sustains me. And I'm cooking. Hagar, Hagar, Hagar. You know, I'm finished. I'm suffering. I don't know what will happen. I know what will happen. The path of the just is as a shining light. It shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. I know what will happen. Because he told me what will happen. See, this is who you are. Somebody looks at you and says, I will deal with you. You can't. I know you wish it, but you can't. I will destroy you in this industry. You can't. For it is not given to man that walketh to order his step. Who is it that seeth a thing and it cometh to pass? When the Lord commanded it not, gather together, you will scatter. Take counsel together, it shall not stand. Speak the word, it shall come to naught. For our God is in our midst. For there is no enchantment against Jacob. There is no divination against Israel. The shout of the king. Sahira Kona Malakatea. Ero Ranana Mantelania Parusa. See, you know why I'm teaching you what I'm teaching you? Some of you have sized yourself as men sized you. You should be taking nations now. You are telling yourself things are not working. That's why you are sent. How long will you wait? I know the place of process. But go read your Bible. You are 50, you are talking process. At 12, Jesus was already talking to the doctors of the law. At 12, at least let's see some signs. At 17, Titus, Timothy, was bishop of Ephesus. At 17, ordaining elders. Somebody is about to rise from here. Oh, you know when it becomes beautiful? When you show up and they despise you. You come, they say, is it this kid? Is it this black man? Is it this girl? They will even call you a lady. Yes, it's this girl. But this girl carries a nation spirit inside her. This girl is clothed with fire. Hey! Every signature and signet of failure on your life is destroyed now. Thank you, Jesus. Let's step down. Sit down. Let me enter my message today. So these are legal grounds that Jesus came to establish. And when he finished it all on the cross, he said, it is finished. There's nothing else to hide. I'm ready for my generation. It is finished. And when he was done, he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. John 17 verse 30. It is finished. The problem with you is that you don't know the word and you don't believe it. That's why the early fathers sang a hymn. When you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, all the glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey.
know, when you read the Bible, there are three major latitudes to scripture. There are descriptive scriptures that tell you who you are. When you know them, then there are prescriptive scriptures that tell you what you should do. And then there are didactic scriptures that command you on what to do. We don't just read verses to quote. When we are reading, some of them is describing to us who we are. That's why sometimes, those of you who are students of the world, see, there are times when I'm reading the Bible, I shut it. I stand up. The thing hits me too hard. I wasn't expecting. All the scriptures we quote here, you think we sat down and we're cramming it to tell you? That's why they just shoot out like arrows. It hit me at some point. The same way it's hitting you now, you can't see it. He says, search ye out of the book and read. None of these things will fail. The mouth of the Lord, it has commanded it, and his spirit gathered it. Search! You are not ordinary. The psalmist said, I was fearfully and wonderfully made. I know. Isaiah said, I and the children the Lord has given to me, we are for signs, we are for wonders. Psalm 139 verse 14 and Isaiah 18 verse 8. I am for signs and for wonders. If these things dominate your consciousness, it will become hard for you to be normal. You will try to, but you can't. See, some people hear us and they say, we just talk lofty things. At least we have some results now to show them we are not just talking. You've got to know who you are, believe it, saturate yourself with it, and declare it. Weeping may endure for the night. Don't worry. Joy comes in the morning. It may not look like it now. The Bible says, when your cloud be full of rain, they will empty themselves upon the earth. If you don't know these things, wherever you are is a mirage. It's not a reality. This is what will make you. And in the name of Jesus, you are being made. So for you to walk in reality, you must come to terms with the legalities of the finished works of Christ. Number three, to walk in reality, you must understand your identity. Without identity, there can be no essence. There can be no status. There can be no impact. In fact, even if you think you are doing well, you are actually a definition of what others called you. So you must identify. You must understand your identity. A man's life truly begins to count when he knows who he is. Somebody said, slaves go to school to learn how to become good servants. That's why they keep pursuing certificates upon certificates upon certificates. It's not the knowledge. You see them want to kill themselves with certificates. It's not the knowledge. Most of them think when they get those certificates, they will have better prospects for employment. Meanwhile, the people who brought this operation put a very demeaning title to you. They call you civilized servant. That's the meaning of civil servant. And then for 30 years you say, I am a civil servant. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some who are working in a parastata for two reasons. Number one, they were sent there. A child of God can be sent to a prison. He is doing mission. And there are some who are there to raise capital so that they can start what they are born to do. But there are some who are there because they don't know who they are. That's what defines them. Don't be in the third category. Don't be there. they suck your whole life. After 35 years of draining you, they say, retire. We don't need you again. I was a civil servant. Because there was a time when I didn't have enough value to do what I was sent to do. And I needed to survive. But while I was there, I was searching. I was pressing. Until I started having encounters in the lab. Some even compromise on the job. No. Let it be a place for developing yourself and gaining capital. And if you will remain there for a lifetime, let it be that God sent you there. Because there are people sent to the academia. There are people sent to government. So there are people there who are on mission. And if you see them, you will know they are not working for salary. The job is a platform. But there are many, 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 many others who don't know who they are. So that's what defines them. And that's why they take so much pride in it. If you don't have an identity, you have not started living. Your identity will put pressure on you until you find the path of your ordination. That was what Moses couldn't rest. He was in Pharaoh's palace, but he couldn't rest. He knew that was not who he was. He wasn't a prince of Egypt. He was a prince of Zion. And so even in the palace, the guy had no peace. He would rather go and join them himself to the Israelites who were slaves. And so for you to live from reality, you must rediscover yourself. And this evening, I want to show us as quick as possible a few things about your identity. My prayer is that these things will inundate you so much that they will begin to regulate you. Because when you catch them, your life can't be the same. And so there are 5 major components of identity I want to deal with here. Number 1 is your essence. What defines your DNA? Because you cannot betray your DNA. Even people who are denatured, you will still find traces and elements of their DNA. So a man who knows his identity is a man who is living from the reality of his DNA, your essence. Number 2, you must understand why you were given that DNA. Because there must be a basis. If I say you are a prince, maybe I come to a kingdom and they look at you, they carry you from the street and say you are a prince. You won't just start jumping and shouting. I say, wow, where is the palace? You will ask how. Then they will tell you, the king in 1990 something went to your village and then had an affair with your mother. And that's how you resorted. Now he wants you back. You will now arm yourself with that story. When you now come to the palace, even the king can't deny you, because now your DNA will say, you can't see otherwise. Your nose will look like him. Your ears will look like him. Your eyes. So in addition to identity, there must be justification or why. Otherwise, you are being psyched. If I tell you what your essence is, I will also tell you why your essence is so. So that you don't just start shouting. Even you will not be convinced. And so we'll look at essence. We'll look at justification. And then number 3, we will look at status. Because now that your essence and the justification is established, what is the effect? What is the impact? What is the implication? So you will also know your status. And then number 4, you will understand your functionality. Now that I know my status, I will also know what I should be doing. Because a king or a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. And then finally, your destination. Now that I am this person, what should my end be? These are the five things I want to isolate very quickly. So let's begin with your essence. When we speak about your essence, we are talking about your nature, your spiritual constitution, and the metaphors that are used to describe you now that you are in the kingdom of God. Because all of these metaphors have a way of defining and explaining your potentials. You know, if you are born a monkey, whether you like it or not, you have a potential for climbing and jumping around. You may not discover it. So, the duty of the mother monkey is to carry the little one to the tree and start jumping. Then the guy will stretch his hand and discover the hand is as long as my height. Too. Especially the ones that are called gibbons. They will stand their hand so they can be floating on the tree. Now, there are people who have been dislocated. So, a Tarzan can be acting like monkey, but that's not who he is. So don't be a Tarzan in the demonic coven. That's not your place. You are chanting incantation, chanting spell. No. You are dislocated. You have a higher essence in light. Don't carry cock and goat in the midnight. You are walking in the forest looking for harpalis. Oh, Gasta, you are bigger than the god in the shrine. The demon you are going to consult should be subject to you. He said, in my name, cast out devils. He said, you are seated with me in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. You can't be consulting a fallen angel. They are beneath you. In recent times, some people are even advocating they are going back to the traditions of their forefathers. Your forefathers, that demons enslaved, if they don't do ritual, there will be plague in the land for 1 year. Same demons that a new believer can cast out. That's what you want to go back to. Come on. Come up hither. So you need to define, understand your essence, your nature, your constitution. Now, in order for God to simplify it, he used metaphors so that the things he compares you with, you will be able to understand yourself by studying those things. And there are five basic words or realities used to qualify your essence. Number one is light. You must understand that you are light. And you are not just any light. The same kind of light he was when he walked the earth. In John 8:12, Jesus said, so long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And he said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. So he was the first light. But you see, he came back later to now tell you that you also are light. In Matthew 5:14, he said, you are the light of the world, a city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. He said, therefore, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you have the capacity for illumination. That you have not discovered it does not mean you are not there. That's why you are here to be taught. You know, the eagle, the young eaglet, has the capacity to soar and to float on the wind. But it may not know it. It's the duty of the mother eagle to teach the young eaglet that, listen, those wings are not the wings of a chicken. Those wings can soar. So what the mother eagle does is, it takes the eaglet high and leaves it to fall. When it's falling, it is forced to spread the wings. After a while, it begins to glide on the waves. After a while, That capacity is there. If the eaglet is not taught, the eaglet may end up trekking like every cock. He may be bigger, but he will still see himself like that. Have you not seen some of these big boys who are foolish? They are playing with children who are at the waist level. They say, my friend, they sit on the ground, they are playing together. Is this your friend? Say yes. He is squatting so that he can put hand on their shoulder. And that's how some of us are. A whole you are Komo Komo in the club dancing. The way where they do me, you are dancing. You. The light of the world. Submerge in darkness. How did darkness trap you? How did darkness master you? And the angels look at you with dismay. The thing is, you don't know who you are. He said, you are light. See, Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were sometimes darkness. He said, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk. You have the potential and the capacity. Walk. If you couldn't, he wouldn't tell you to. It would have been a setup. He said, walk as children of light. In Philippians 2:15, he said, in your walking, that you should be blameless and harmless as sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as light. You are light. You are light. You are not part of darkness. You know what it means to be light? It means you have the capacity to illuminate. Where people are confused, you can give direction. Where people are depraved, you can bring moral standard. You don't collapse to their realm. And it means you have authority over darkness. Because the light shines in the darkness. The darkness comprehends it not. So anywhere the government of Satan is, you can do something. See, if people are sick, you can do something. If people are plagued, you can do something. If people are dying, you can do something. See, that's why when things go wrong, you can't hold yourself. There is something in you telling you, you are the answer. But you can never manifest that answer except as you first of all discover that you are the answer. You are light. You should illuminate. You should bring direction. You should bring guidance. You should rule over darkness. Sickness is a form of darkness. Sin is a form of darkness. See, when sinners hear you, they should be convicted. When people are sick, touch them, they should be healed. You are light. When an institution is plunging into iniquity and moral depravity, you should be able to stand and say, this is wrong. Don't go and join that institution and say, so this is how they do it here. No, that's why you came. You are light. You are light. I've been in a school before where it was normal to compromise during WAEC. As a teacher, I didn't even have enough money to help myself. When WAEC is closed, every teacher will sit down and proprietors will come and tell them the program of cheating. Question paper will come 30 minutes before the exam. Quickly solve the problem, you go and dictate. And they heard me preaching in that school, casting out devils. When they told the woman, and perhaps she follows me now, and my prayer, she has repented. When they told her, she was so angry. I've defied her. She sent a message that they should tell me not to repeat what I've said again. You know the way of Nebuchadnezzar. They will make the fire 10 times hotter to intimidate you. But you see, light shines better when you expose it to heat. That's why when pressure comes, God lifts you. You are about to enter another layer of illumination. Thousands of young people that I was teaching, imagine now how they would look at me if I was cheating in WAEC. Say, which man of God? Imagine what would have happened to their faith. Some of them are doctors and engineers now. They still reach out and are burning for God because they are inspired by my testimony. Don't compromise. You are light. Bring direction. Bring illumination. Rule over darkness. See, when somebody is sick, don't stop them from going to the hospital. But tell them, wait, let me lay hands on you first. There's something here. I'm light. I can stop darkness. That's your essence. Number two, you are salt. You know, you can't understand this thing well until, see, go online, right? Study the qualities and the attributes of light. Anything you see there, that is you. That's what I'm trying to say. The Bible used these words to help you understand yourself better, because these realities are with you. Do you know what light brings when it enters a dark room? We were in a room recently and the light went off. I was just stretching my hand to shake one of the brothers and the light went off. My hand was in front of him. He didn't know. Until light came, he shouted and shook me. Some of you, your breakthrough is in front of you like this, but there's no light. There's no light. But when you have light, nothing that is yours can be taken from you. It takes light to receive your inheritance. Your inheritance is actually in the kingdom of light. Christians shouldn't struggle if they knew they were light and if they walked in light. Number two, you are salt. Matthew 5:16. And you are not just salt, but the salt of the earth. The Bible says, ye are the salt of the earth. Don't lose your taste. Some of you are salt, but because you don't know, you are not being utilized. You know what salt does? Number one, preservation. Number two, influence. Don't put salt in your food and see if you can eat it the next day. So you are a value giver. Anywhere you enter, you must have a consciousness. I have come to add value. It is in my DNA. I can study to refine it. I can be mentored to refine it. But raw material, value giving capacity is here. I never enter a place and think I'm a liability. Nobody can call me a liability. I am salt. And then, you are not begging for influence. Influence is in your DNA. That's why I don't need to be plenty to be relevant. See, sometimes when we talk, people look at us and say, isn't this young man that is talking like this? It's not size. In fact, when we become too plenty, we will spoil the show. You don't pour salt. It's pinch you use. But you eat the food and then you will tell me whether the oil as bogus as it is. As large rather, not bogus. Because the oil is not deceptive, it's real. As large in quantity as it is, if its influence in the soup is more than the salt. Just the little salt you sprinkled is the most outstanding thing in that food. That little salt. And you don't have it, you can't eat. So who told you that Christians won't be in Nigeria today? If we leave this world will be destroyed. Though. As they are fighting, end of Christianity. If we leave, they are finished. If not for the Judeo-Christian value that has dominated the world, violence would have destroyed the world already. Sin would have destroyed the world. Satan would have turned this world to hell already. We are the ones stopping the operation of darkness. We are the ones bringing value systems to the earth. See, be proud that you are a Christian. An And if you know this, that family where you are, there's preservation. You tell yourself, nobody wastes here. Nobody dies here. Nobody is destroyed here. Why? I am salt. I'm a preserver. I'm a preserver. When things go wrong, go lock the door. Change it by talking. God is telling you, this is who you are. You are a preserver. And you have influence. Somebody looked at me and said, is it all this media, little media visibility that is making you talk like this? So you notice. Well, until now, I didn't notice you. At least in your house, I'm there with you. You can't come to my house. So you notice. They will hate you. They will be so full of bitterness that they want to trivialize you. I was preaching the other day and I said, the messages I'm preaching now is in 50 to 100 years, people will appreciate it. Somebody looked at me and said, Oganawa for you. You mean after 100 years you still be relevant? Yes, I am salt. I am salt. I'm telling you, your grandchildren will know me. Just as mine will know yours. You are salt. Why do you think God is bringing things out of you? Wisdom, institutions, help to people. He's preserving that legacy. Isaiah 60 verse 50. He said, you were a desolate land. No man went through you. He said, I have made you. It is there we make you. I have made you an eternal excellency. The joy of many generations. I discovered this thing early, over 15 to 19 years ago. It affected even how I dressed. I'm relevant. With all humility. Because I'm salt. You can't come for a meeting like this. You didn't brush your teeth. You didn't comb your hair. You pick a shirt that you have been wearing for 1 week. No. You are relevant. You are an entity to reckon with. You may not have many. The one you wore. See, there was a time when I had one white shirt, one black trouser. The only thing I had more than one were different colors of ties. I will wash in the night and starch. Those days of blue starch. I will iron in the morning. The edge is like razor blade. Sometimes I wear waist belt. Other times I wear cross belt. Adding some varieties. From red tie to blue tie. Walking like somebody who is changing the world. I had no impact on anybody. But I knew I was relevant. Sahila toa, tetetene, zanzara, takaparuta, saita latunai. Don't let circumstance break you. A me like this, small me like this. Don't talk like that. Is it not small you Jesus came to die for? I'm not exhorting you beyond what you should think. I'm telling you who God says you are. You know, when we preach the gospel, we preach Christ and his works. Then we preach who you have become. Because if you don't know who you are, you will waste the works of Christ. You are singing because now it's only 200 people that watch you. You think you are not relevant. No, you are. You are just waiting for your time. Some of the songs you are singing now and you are not taking serious. Next year, it will become viral. People will go back to trace your history as they look forward to your future. Those days that I was preaching fire messages only, because I was traveling only, I would just pray. When I'm talking, I don't pause. I just fire for 2 hours. I thought those days I was suffering. Today, people will tell me, those are your old messages. I say, So you prefer the history than the bread? They say no. Now you explain things to build us up. But those old messages, when I want fire, I say, Lord. So those messages that sometimes I preach in despise are the ones blessing people now. See, there is nothing about you that is a waste. You are salt. You have influence. You are preserving capacity. See, anybody connected to you is blessed. They will not die. That's number one. Number two, they will become relevant. Number three, they will be great. Number four, they will fulfill God's purpose. Those days, when Pastor Chris was training us, he said, even if you are in a bus, anybody you touch is blessed. He said, it's not only when you close your hands and lay hands on people, that they touch you, they are blessed. See, there is something about your essence. God flows out of you. That's why he didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, lay hands on the sick, they will recover. There is something about you that preserves. Your country is blessed that you are part of it. Your territory is blessed that you are part of it. Your family is blessed that you are part of it. You are salt. If you don't know this, see, you can quote 1,000 scripture. It will still mean nothing. You are a theologian. You can fast for 1 year. It will mean nothing. At the end of the day, you too will have record that you fasted for 1 year. There will be no sign. You can pray in tongues loud for years. There will be no sign. Because you don't know who you are. That's why people pray in tongues, they are still confused. People pray in tongues, they are still afraid. People quote scripture, they still fail. Because they have not. There's a difference between truth and knowing verses of the Bible. You are light. You are salt. Sit down. Next, you are a flame of fire. You were first of all baptized with fire, then you were made. This is the one that troubles the devil. You know, I was teaching somewhere and I told people the judgment of Satan is fire. He said, I will cause fire to come out of your bowels and devour you. That's why even at the end of time, he will be cast into the lake of fire. So when God made us flames of fire, amongst other things, is so that we can put Satan in his place. No demon messes around me. You will feel the effect immediately. Matthew 3:11. He said, we baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So you were immersed in fire. Because the word baptize is the word from the word baptizo, and it means to be submerged. So I am submerged in fire. Everything about me drips fire. That's who you are. And then you were not just submerged in fire. Beyond submersion or immersion, you were now made. The Bible said in Hebrews 1:7, he maketh his angels spirits. He said, but his ministers, they are a flame of fire. I'm a flame of fire. This is my essence. These things have inundated my consciousness so much that I can't think outside of them. You are a flame. John manifested a little of it, and it shook the whole Jerusalem, shook the whole Judea, shook the whole territory. John 5:35, the Bible said he was a burning and a shining light. And it said all of you came under him for a season. What does it mean to be fire? It means you are an instrument of judgment. When God wants to bring about judgment to darkness, sometimes he sends you. Number two, what does it mean to be a flame of fire? You are an instrument of purification. Because fire purifies. Malachi 3:2. He sits as a refiner, and he shall thoroughly purge the sons of Levi, that they might bring an acceptable worship unto God. You are an instrument of purification. You study Isaiah chapter 6. He took the stone from the midst of the coals of fire, touched my tongue, and my iniquity was past. That's why when you come to a place, you stop the error of iniquity. There are many harlots today that are relocated from where they were and say, we don't do again. There are many Yahoo boys today that heard me and left it. Some of them were in the middle of business, about to make money. But something hit them. The Bible says on the day of Pentecost, when they heard Peter, they were pricked in their hearts. There are people who hear me today, and they have embarked on fasting, some for a whole year, some for many months. Because when fire comes, it judges evil, it purifies iniquity, and then number three, it intensifies. Fire is intensity. You can't have fire and you are doing something that is not noticeable. You are an instrument of intensity. If you start selling water today, the whole neighborhood will know. If you start cooking food, you know, the problem is that we don't know these things in light. I told you a story. When we were young, going to primary school, in the morning, cars, Okada riders, students, all of us, we joined line, washing plates for the woman who was standing up by in the morning. Bean cake. All of us. Students are rushing to school. They wash. Who is washing plates for you? They will heap plates there. If you want, go and carry. You will see bankers. And I was in Benue, you know. Benue is a civil service state. Amen. So if you are a banker, if you are a lecturer, these are heavy people. You will see bankers washing plates quick. Those who can't wash, they'll collect the lead and run to the office to eat. Lo and behold, a Holy Ghost father came for one of the Catholic novena. And when the man was worshipping, demons started screaming. See, anywhere you are, you can carry something up. There are many reverend fathers today that are global revivalists. You are the one who think they don't have fire. When the man started singing, demons began to manifest. I know some people will say it's exorcism. Because I'm not doing debate with you. And this woman came under the power. That was when she began to confess. They gave her the hand of a child from a coven, the hand. And they gave her oil from the human body. So when she's cooking, because she usually come up 3 a.m. and start cooking, she will drop the oil and use the hand to turn the ingredients. Intensity. The whole city gathered there. In the morning, that was the hub of the city. Anybody who was in Castilla, Benue State will tell you. They know it. I won't call anybody's name. They gathered. We that will have 50 kobo to go to school, we will go and buy one. You will eat some there, put the other in the pocket for break time. The whole city gathered there because she was raging. Oh my God. See, when fire is burning, the whole forest is arrested. That's why God made you fire. When you stand, everything takes reference from you. It's called intensification. How many of you read the story of John Wesley? Is it John Wesley now? They drove him from the city. There was nowhere to go to. He went and stood on his father's grave. It's not church policy of being the heart of the city. That's beautiful. I love it. The guy went to his father's grave and stood there and was preaching. And the whole city came there. You see, I set myself on fire. And the people came to watch me burn. There was intensity. He was bringing things from the realm of God in levels of brilliance that men could not imagine. Where was John? He was in the wilderness. The Bible said the whole of Jerusalem and Judea went to him. Those of you who are here today, at how many places do you go in the night? You think you just come here? It's intensity. It's very difficult for you. This is a Sunday. Some go to church, they still come. See how this environment is. in 1 week we have been flooded twice. Not to talk of the bush everywhere. But people will defile it and come. If we want everybody who is connected to come, this place can't take us. If you carry fire, that your pure water business can impact the country. You can sell parfait, it will become global. Parfait. The whole nation will order it. Because as you are cooking it, Mariata Kivos Kabai. Barakata. See, wisdom is coming. Favor is coming. Everything is just happening. You become a center of attraction. You have it in your DNA. You are a flame of fire. You are a flame. Number four, I'm just talking about your essence. You are a flame of fire. Why do you think sometimes you are doing something, even you don't like it? Because the you in you said, this is not you. You are the wind. The Bible said in John 3:8, as the wind bloweth, he said, thou listest not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. He says, so are they that are born by the Spirit. You know, the Holy Ghost was himself is called the wind. Ruach HaKodesh. The wind of God. The wind of the Spirit. Holy in essence. You were also designed to operate as the wind. What is the implication of being the wind? Number one, you cannot be denied access. There's nowhere and there's nobody that can say you will be silenced, you will not be heard. You can't stop the wind. Even the aircraft that they say is airtight have air there. Because if there's no air, we will all die. You have access. Nothing can stop you from entering your destiny. All this talk, village people, who is village people? Can they trap the wind? What are you talking about? The village people don't want me to fulfill my ministry. And it's even theologically so ignorant. A calling you got from the ascension. You didn't receive your calling at the cross. You didn't receive your calling at the burial. You didn't receive your calling at the resurrection. Now, all the victories you can imagine is already there. It was when he ascended far above all heaven that he gave some to be prophets, that he gave some to be apostles, that he gave some to be evangelists. Yet, you see a minister saying, I have to go to the village to fetch sand. I'm called from heaven. And he said, that which is from above is above all. What are you talking here? You can't stop me. See, these things I'm telling you, if I share my personal story, I've experienced these things and I've seen them prevail. Those who know me will tell you. There was a season when more than 7 pastors reached me. They told them not to invite me. And at the time they were telling me, I didn't need their invitation. I'd grown bigger than it. Who is talking invitation? Talking to a rugged evangelist? I enjoy it more when I'm in the bush, in the villages. I bought my gadgets, stage, trucks, lights. I built my team. Who is talking invitation? I come alive when I'm in the villages where I see the sick. I see crowd gather to hear the gospel. I know these ones don't know Jesus. That's when I come into my most brilliant colors. It's talking invitation. Meanwhile, at this time, I already had too many international invitations to honor. Pastor Son is in charge of my itinerary. Ask him. Many people hate him. If you say this is a winner Sunday, they say, so don't record him. Both. They say, so this is the man. They have called and called and called. He is overwhelmed. Ask him in January. Sometimes we are booked into November. All because we are special. Every child of God is equally special. Not because we are preaching something that nobody is preaching. I know I am the wind. You can't stop me, sir. I'm in the palace. I'm in the house of the poor man. I'm in the city. I'm in the village. Everywhere I'm there. Somebody saw me and said, you have dominated TikTok. I said, we have not started. If these things hit you, then they will create room for grace to flow. You still think you can be limited. That's why you are limited. You are the wind. You have access. And number two, you are invincible. Do you see the air? What does that mean? You are indestructible. You can't hurt me. Try to and see how you waste your destiny. There are many people who hate us. They hate us into their liver. But they can do nothing about us. Everywhere they go, we are in front of them talking. They are entering market. They are hearing us. They enter everywhere they go. Some, even in their churches, we show up. They invited him here too. I don't come. There's nothing you can do about it. They are on TikTok, I'm there. They are on Instagram, I'm there. They are on Facebook, I'm there. Strange quarters, I just show up. Sometimes you see flyer like this. I don't come. You want to die, die early. There's nothing you can do about it. Sometimes when they make comments, you know they are making the comment from bitterness. That's why they are in the comment box. We are taking nations, winning souls. You are in the comment box, making angry comments. You will be there for a long time. Please understand this. You need to learn to focus your consciousness. You can't destroy me. You can't get me. And you cannot stop me. That's your reality. You are the wind. You are the wind. Hiya, hiya, ha ha. Hey, hey, hey. Hiya, hiya. Business for 30 years considers you a competitor and he wants to destroy it. Don't be afraid. You can't be stopped. You can't. Just know you are the wind. You can't be stopped. You started a career. Somebody thinks your rise will cast a shadow on him, and because of that, he wants to destroy you. Fear not. You can't be destroyed. The one who made you called you. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life has changed. I will never be the same. I've touched your grace. My life.
a moment. Some of you may need to hear this message more than 20 times to catch it. You have not been exposed to threats, then you have not started. I can't tell you how many threats from different quarters. My wife is here. I don't pray about it. There's no time. I'm the wind. So I have access. You can't stop me. I'm invincible. You can't destroy me. You may wish it. It won't happen. That's the heritage of every believer. And then number three, I'm indispensable. You cut off wind at your peril. Everyone needs the wind. Never come to a point where somebody makes you feel you are not important. Now, when it has to do with the kingdom of God, he can do without us. But so long as the affairs of men are concerned, nobody can make you feel dispensable. You have value. If they don't see it, it doesn't mean you don't have. Tell yourself that. Let it sink into you. It is in your DNA. That's your essence. And finally, you are a stone. You are a rock. First Peter 2:5. You are a rock. It says, ye are lively stones, and you are built up to a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You are a stone, a stone that is alive. You are not a stone that anybody can carry and throw around. No, you are a living stone. You know what that means? It means stability. What breaks others can't break you. That's why I said the righteous may fall 7 times. He will rise again. I don't have time to have high BP. I told somebody, read Paul's ministry. He goes to a city, they reject him. He doesn't go and cry. This ministry that God gave me is over. Over where? He stands up and enters the next city. Nothing could break the man. Paul will lose everything. He was in Ephesus, labored for 2 years. They ganged up and said he defied Diana. And they kicked him out. You will think Paul will say, imagine, all the disciples, the building. Oga entered another city and started as if nothing has gone wrong. There's no time to break down, sir. There's stability. Sickness can't break you down. Demons can't break you down. Disappointments can't break you. You are a rock. That's why sometimes, in the midst of crisis, the joy of the Lord wells up. Even you can't explain it. This is your DNA. You are a rock. I know the business failed. I know the marriage failed. I know the ministry failed. I know the career failed. Start again. That's one of the most important use of the word again. You failed before, start again. So long as there's life, there's hope. The Bible said there's hope for a tree that is cut off. At the scent of water, it will sprout. Don't sit in your past and be weeping, looking for human sympathy. You are rock. Gather yourself and move on. Gather yourself. The Bible said David, when his mighty men turned against him, can you imagine? The quality of men David had. The Bible spoke of Eleazar, the son of Dodo. It spoke of Shammah, the son of Agi. These were dangerous men. Individuals that could take a whole army turned against David. Is that not a good time to be frustrated? The Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Are you, this is a rock you are dealing with here. This is a rock. We don't break. The word is shalom, shalom. Nothing broken, nothing missing. By full package.
Number two, it speaks of integrity and reliability. Don't compromise under pressure. Let your yea be yea. Let your nay be nay. There are many Christians that are like chameleons. You see them in church, they are pious and holy. When they leave church, they are wolves in sheep clothing. Don't be like that. A rock should have stability. Not that you are talking bold in the public. In the secret, you are a disgrace. You are a rock. Tell yourself, I have integrity. I'm reliable. God can bank on me. I told you, when you believe God, is called faith. When God trusts you, it's called faithfulness. A rock is both faith and faithfulness. He can counter opposition and he's dependable. That's who you are. You are a rock. Come rain, come shine, we are here. Don't let circumstances change your ground. You are born in when there is no money. Now money has come. God can't find you. No, you are a rock. One of the definitions of glory is the word statue. That they build, that stands under the rain, under the sun, is the same. That's who a believer is. Let there be moral soundness. Let there be integrity. Somebody should leave you after 20 years and meet you again and say, Kai, I'm not surprised. You have maintained the fire. You have maintained the integrity. That's who you are. That's who you are. You have stability. You have reliability and integrity. And then you have strength. You can go on. Because God is helping you. God is sustaining you. Paul said in Acts 26:22, I continue to this day, having received the help of God. It's a day that wait upon the Lord, renew their strength. They mount up with wings. Isaiah 40 verse 31. As eagles, you can go on. See, never quit. Never. You are rock. Let it be on record that where others fainted, that was where you stood to raise men up. You are rock. It's your DNA. If you understand these things I'm teaching you, you will live from another reality. People will look at you and wonder, are we in the same country? No, we are not. You have a physical geography, I have a celestial geography. Jesus was walking on the earth in John 3:13. The Bible said the Son of Man which is in heaven. He was living by another economy, living by another possibility, because he knew his essence. Every believer must come to a point where you now know who you are. You are light. You are salt. You are wind. You are rock and you are fire. These are metaphors used to qualify you. You don't just come to church and become part of a religious movement. No. There are definite spiritual realities that define who you are. It's on the strength of this that God places expectations on you. If God tells you to solve the problem of a generation, it's because he knows you are light. The capacity for illumination is there. If God tells you they can't kill you, it's because he knows you are wind. He's not just talking because he's God. There are things he has installed in you to make him define you the way he has done. And if you don't know this, the errand of grace will be frustrated. That's why all of us have grace, but our manifestations are not the same. One of the ways you separate men into cadres is in their manifestation, because it reveals the depth of self-discovery within God's essence and the degree to which you can steward those things you have found. They separate us into levels. We are not all the same. Praise God. Are you learning something? I want to stop here today. There are four more layers. Maybe we'll do the identity part two. Because of the climate today, maybe we should stop here. You are light. If you enter your economy in light, you'll be amazed. Even things you have not read, the Bible says, open your mouth. He said, I will fill it up with words. Wisdom will flow out of you like a river. You will just stand. At that moment, something will happen. You will connect to another dimension. You will start talking. Even you will be learning while you are yet speaking. And then you are wondering, what is going on here? It means beyond the syllables of men, there are other dimensions that is accessible to sons in the kingdom. How did the fisherman write a book that is now being studied as a PhD thesis? The Bible says, holy men of God, they spake as they were moved. We can be carried. We can be carried. Men can be immortalized if they discover their essence. Glory unto Yeshua, Kainah is here. We cry, holy, holy, holy unto Yeshua, When you leave this service, go and study about light. Go and study about the wind. Go and study the potentials and the capabilities of light, of wind. Study about rocks. Go and study about salt. Go and study about fire. Whatever you discover, that is you. And then you will see how far detached you are from reality. Some of us are far from reality. Light has gone, burdens are lifted. Gear and round up. Right. I'll step down. Let's go classical a bit. What is the justification? Number one, you are a seed. That's why you can be light. That's why you can be wind. That's why you can be a stone. That's why you can be fire. Because you are a seed. He made you a seed. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. As a seed, what does it mean? It means he imparted his DNA into you. So the things he is, you can naturally be. That's why you are fire. He is fire, you are fire. He is light, you are light. Because you are a seed, The DNA of God is inculcated into you. The Bible said in 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5, it says, ye are the children of light. So when he called you light, it's because you have the DNA of light. You are a seed. Because you are a seed, you also don't just have his DNA, you now have the principle of reproduction and multiplicity. So by implication, whatever he gives me, I can both reproduce and multiply. That's why I'm not just light. My light shines. I'm a seed. If you pluck a mango fruit, eat it, and plant the seed will replicate exactly after the tree. The reason I am like him, manifesting his essence of light, of fire, manifesting his essence of wind, is because I am made a seed. I am his seed. That's the justification. Number two, why are you all of these things? Because you are a branch. I am vitally connected to him. John 15 verse 5. He said, I am the vine. He said, you are the branches. I am the vine. He said, you are the branches. Him that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So the reason I manifest his essence is because I'm connected to him. I am a branch. So these things I'm sharing, I have it because I draw it from him. He made me a branch. And I won't disconnect. I will stay connected. Number three, you are a vessel. You are not just a seed that carries his DNA and the principle of replication and multiplication. You are not just a branch that is connected. You are also a vessel. And because you are a vessel, he chose to invest himself in you. He abides in you and you conduct him. So what I'm communicating, I'm not the source. I'm only a conduit. I'm a vessel. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 4, 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, it says, he that is joined, 6, 17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And then 19, it said, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? I'm a vessel. God lives in me. So it is not a strange thing that I communicate his essence. I'm a branch. I'm connected to God. So it's not a strange thing that I conduct his essence. I'm a seed. I have his DNA. So it's not a strange thing that I reproduce and multiply his essence. I'm a vessel. I'm a vessel. Glory to God. You know, when we're coming for this service, I was singing one of those old hymns that blessed us those days. Behold among men the dwelling place of God. There shall be his people, and he shall be their Lord and God. Behold among men the dwelling place of God. They shall be his people, and he shall be their Lord and God. We are his dwelling place. That's our essence. Who knows that hymn? You know it? You know the stanza? Come on. People who are called by the words of the prophet, people who are gathered in the house of the Lord, people who... Come, give a mic. You are a vessel. See, everywhere you go, when you enter a bank, God has come. You are a vessel. You, these things I'm teaching you, is not for church. It's for the world. You are a light in the world. You are a fire in the world. Because you are a vessel. I entered the bank as a vessel. I entered business as a vessel. I entered the army as a vessel. You are a vessel. You've got to know it. This is who he made you. You know, come and sing it. Look for the lyrics on online. Put on the screen. Oh, you know, the songs we are singing now, God will help us. Those days they sang gospel. Put the lyrics on the help sing the song.
Behold among men the dwelling place of God.
They shall be his people, and
he shall be their Lord and God. Behold,
add some speed because of time.
The dwelling place of God,
they shall be his people.
Give us stanza one.
People called by God through the word
of the prophet. People brought together in the house of the Lord. People who attend to their God.
The church of God.
Behold among men the dwelling place of God. They shall be his people, and
he shall be the Lord God. Temple built by saints, by the martyrs and apostles.
Holy temple upon Christ the cornerstone. Holy dwelling place of our God.
The church of Christ the Lord.
Behold among men the dwelling place of God. They shall be his people. People who are marked by the seal of the Spirit. People in the Spirit made one.
The church of Christ alone. Behold
among men the dwelling place of God.
Are you not seeing? People who are crafted on Jesus the vine,
branches bearing fruit in the grace of the Lord, branches rooted in his love,
the church of Christ the Lord.
Behold among men the dwelling place of God. His people, and
he shall be the Lord and God. People nourished now by the body of the Lord.
People who sit down to the new pastor's supper, who shall pass from death into life.
The church of Christ the Lord.
Communicating here. See, you are a vessel. Every Where you go, you carry God. It's not about denomination. When you enter a bank, you come with God. When you enter the market, you come with God. This is what God calls you. He has invested himself into you. So you are a seed, you are a branch, you are a vessel, and a temple. There are eight stanzas, but we don't have time. Sit down, let's wrap up the message. Glory to God. You see, I meditate. Sometimes I use these hymns for meditation. You know, people who know gospel singing. You know, it's not just melody. You know what the fifth stanza said? It said, people justified by the grace of the Spirit. People who are heirs of everlasting life. People now enlightened by Christ. The church of Christ. Are you hearing the words? It's just the whole gospel you are laboring to preach. It's just sang. You carry that consciousness. Now many people sing it. Many denominations sing it. They don't even know it. You are a vessel. You are a vessel. Praise God. This is the justification. And then finally, you are not just a vessel, you are also a sheep. He is actively present leading you. John 10:27, he said, my sheep heareth my voice and they obey me. I'm not alone. I am being led. He is ever present in my life. I'm not alone. That's why when I am faced by challenges, I lean on him. I have a shepherd. Psalm 23, even a king said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. This is a king and a warrior. He knows he is strong because he is led. Verse 4 and 5 said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. He said, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. The guy who has this understanding, if you like, pray 10 hours. He will make one statement. What he will achieve, you can't achieve it. He's praying from reality. Fast for 1 week. That guy can just say, thank you, Lord, and make a decree. You'll be shocked. The difference between what he can command and yours, they'll be worlds apart. Because you have not found who you are. And you have not known why God called you what he called you. So these are justifications. Now, what is your status? In this kingdom where you are light, in this kingdom where you are fire, what status do you have? I give you four. Number one, you are a son. You are not a stranger wielding fire. You are not a stranger commanding the wind. You are a son. In this kingdom, you have status and there is a legal backing for you. The Bible said in John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become sons of God. Romans 8:14, as many as are led by the Spirit, he said, they are the sons of God. So you are not a stranger in this kingdom. You are a son. And as a son, it means you have relationship with him. So you are fire because you have relationship. You are light because you have relationship. Number two, you have inheritance in him. The things he has, he didn't borrow you to use once in a while. The things he has, he gave it to you as your heritage. So fire is my heritage. Authority is my heritage. I didn't borrow it to use. You know, when we were the early days. If you watch our pictures, four people were wearing the same suit. There's one owner, but four users. So, somebody is going to preach, and he wears a suit that is bigger than him. They fold the leg. Is this fashion? No, it's not his size. He will return it to the owner after the meeting. He didn't give you fire as a borrowed equipment. He didn't borrow you light. He didn't borrow you wind. He gave you as your inheritance. You had the right to eat any day, anytime. That's why he made you a son. He gave you the status of a son so that you can declare relationship, so that you can call the things he gave you as yours and as an inheritance. And then number three, so that you also qualify to represent him. You know, DNA gives you an inherent capacity for representation. I don't need to introduce my son. If you see him, you know he's projecting a DNA. So when he made you a son, he gave you inherent capacity to bring him to the scene. That's why you don't need to beg God to show up. Now, there are protocols for the presence. But you must understand that there is, first of all, a legal ground. A sonship. I'm a son. Everywhere I go, I carry him. Luke knew this so much that when he was curating what Jesus said, he included it. He said in Luke 10:16, if they hear you, they hear me. That's Jesus talking. He hit Luke so hard, he couldn't leave it out. If they hear you, they hear me. So you have capacity to represent him. You are his son. You are not a stranger in the kingdom. I see people, they get offended, they get angry and leave. And you see them, they say, now they are realists. Now they are atheists. They didn't know they were sons. They thought they were a man's church. You are in the kingdom. You are a son. Every asset of the kingdom is yours. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:21, all things are yours. Number two, what is your status? You are a priest. 1 Peter 2:9, it says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God's special people, God fought to showcase his excellency, a peculiar treasure of God. You are a priest. Revelation 1:6 said, he washed us and made us kings and priests. What does it mean to be a priest? It means you can represent God to man, and you can bring men before God. So when I stand before God, I don't stand as an individual. I stand as a corporate persona. I can stand on behalf of people before God. And I can bring God before a people. It's what he gave you. This is why God's presence should become your real covering. Because anywhere you go, you are the bridge between God and man. You can bring heaven to earth. And you can take the witness of earth to heaven. Do you know there are many Christians today, they are not even sure if they pray God will answer. You have gone past that level. You can now represent people before God. You can stand on behalf of Nigeria and talk to God. You are a priest. He gave you that status that you can. Hope you know, you can't go to the president now and start talking on behalf of your state. You won't even have access. In a country where they know what they are, of course, you have the right to see your president. But, I mean, you are in Africa. Unfortunately so. So, it's only the senator that can stand somewhere and say, on behalf of my people, it's a status thing. In the kingdom, you have the status. I can talk to God on behalf of people. And I can bring God to a people. If I want God to move here now, I don't need to start begging God to so do. He made me a priest. I'll say, Father, show yourself strong. You will see things will begin to happen. It's from my priesthood. That's who you are. How can he send you to the marketplace, to government, to the academia, if you can't bring him there? And if you can't bring that constituency to him? He first of all made you a priest before he sent you. You know, when we move around, we think we are wanderers. We don't know we are kingdom envoys. Because we don't know our identity. We don't know our status in the kingdom. Number three, you are a king. Of course, Revelation 1:6, we just read it. It said he made you a king and a priest. You know, when I see people from the way they dress, I know what they think they are. Have you ever seen any king dressed tattered? He may not have so much. This is not vanity. This is not materialism. But if you know who you are, it will reflect in how you carry yourself. Of course, in humility, but with decency and dignity. A man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. You are a king. Nobody talks to you anyhow. Nobody undermines you, and you know who you are. You are a king. And as a king, he gave you the right to wield his authority. So I can speak on the behalf of God, and there will be backing. If God says people should not be sick, I can come somewhere and banish sickness. Heaven will back it. Because it's the king talking. He said, where the word of the king is, there is power. Who can say unto him, what was that? Listen, you don't have to feel charismatic. These things are true. Believe it, your reality will change. You think we travel from nation to nation. It's by fluke that the things that happen. You check the consistency, then you will know we know something. In 1 month, you are in over 9 nations. And in all these nations, the presence of God is strong. The power of God is moving. Healings and miracles are taking place. That can no longer be a fluke. And if you were traveling once in a while, you can arrange it. Not at certain frequencies. Even if you are the richest man in the world, it will be difficult. In 35 days, you are in 9 countries. And all of them, the same operations. You know something. You know when you talk, heaven will back it. I know. Not because I am different from you. Because like you, I am a king. But me, I know. Every believer must come to terms with these truths. He gave you status in his realm. You see the way the president looked around a country of over 200 million people and select a handful of people and say, you are ambassadors. That means any country you are sent to, if you are accepted, you can represent the interests of this country. He selects a few people and say, now you are ministers. You can't just walk into the aviation industry and say, yes, now, let's examine all the aircraft. They will say, who are you? It takes status to talk. And when you are removed from that status, overnight, authority will disappear. So God gave you the status of a king. That means in this jurisdiction, you have a say. So that's why we don't talk anyhow. We know our words command authority. Heaven's here and back it up. You are a king. But many don't know. And that's why they perish. Because a man in honor that knoweth not is like the beast of the field that perishes. And then number four, you are an ambassador. You are not just a son, a king, a priest. You are officially commissioned to represent him with judicial and governmental authority. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it said, now are we ambassadors. That's Paul talking. He knew, if I go to business, I'm an ambassador of heaven. If I'm in ministry, I'm an ambassador of heaven. If I am in the academia, I'm an ambassador of heaven. You know, the problem with us is that when we see anybody manifest, we think, God loves this person. Oh, see what he has done for him. Or we think, they are special people. This person is special. See the way God has distinguished him. No, he discovered who he is. You have not discovered who you are. Some of you wowing at different people. You even carry more than them. I can tell you this one by experience. There are people who trained me in my growing up in Christ. Some of them look up to me now. These were people that reversed 15 years ago, 19 years ago, 22 years ago. I was their disciple. Now they look up to me. What has happened? Although they knew more than me, now I have discovered myself more than they have discovered themselves. It's not because I'm special. They once taught me. I once obeyed their instruction. But excavation is going on. Some of you listening to me now, these things must happen. Some of you listening to me now, in the next 10 years, I will look at you. The only joy I will have is that I trained you. Because where you will be operating from will be things I dreamt about. It's normal. It happens. When you now come and say, yeah, 10 years ago, I sat under apostle and it was 6, I will say, yeah. If I not reach there, at least I send somebody there. It's normal. There are some students here today, we are paying their school fees. Tomorrow they will be presidents. Tomorrow they will be governors. Tomorrow they will be apostles to nations. The only consolation we have is that they would defer to us and say we made a difference in their lives. But they will become greater. Today I know myself in God more than them. But tomorrow they will know themselves in God more than I know myself. And the realm is not sentimental. It will separate us into cadres. That's why, what no matter what happens to you, don't stop finding yourself. Search in the spirit through prayer and worship. Search in the word through reading and meditation. Keep finding yourself. You are an ambassador. Everywhere you go, you represent his interest. Glory to God. As I round up, what is your functionality? How do you function? This man that has God's essence, this man that has a status in God's kingdom, how should he function? Number one, as a witness. A king, a priest is a witness. An ambassador is a witness. You can be a believer, you can be in the fivefold ministry, you are a witness. That's how you function. Anywhere you go, recognize that I came here to do the job of a witness. My platform can be lecturing. My platform can be business. My platform can be medical science. But my functionality is witness. Praise God. Acts 1:8. Not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power, and you shall be witnesses unto me. You are a witness. What does it mean to be a witness? Number one, you testify about Christ through your words and through your lifestyle. If Jesus is good, you talk about it and you show goodness. If Jesus is merciful, you talk about it, you show mercy. If Jesus is Lord, you talk about it and you serve him. You must testify about Jesus. There are people who got a job and they hid Christ under a bushel. And you find this largely among Christians. Some went to nations and they felt they have become too civilized to be witnesses. Meanwhile, that same country where they are, those who serve other gods are there before them and they are still witnesses. I don't know any Indian shop I've entered and I didn't see a god there. They carry their god everywhere. You went and came back with accent. Taking pride in speaking another man's language. Hey, you know, I'm doing well. God's girl. That's all you came back with. Accent. Hey, how are you doing? Oh my God. Meanwhile, not even your neighbor knows that you have a God. But the Buddhist that lives with you, the monk that lives with you, they know. The sons of the bond women, you reject their God, you reject them. But a Christian, he becomes too civilized to be a witness. You must testify about Jesus. And number two, you are a proof producer. A test a witness is a proof producer. That means when you call your God, things will happen. You should carry a wisdom that is out of this world. You should demonstrate God's power. Cast out devils. Heal the sick. And that power is not only for casting out devils. It can also build systems. Read your Bible. Noah built an ark that saved the whole world. Systems. Moses built a temple that was able to hold spirits. So when we say power of God, we are not just talking casting out devils. The time has come for Christians to build principles in different sectors that will become the reference of those sectors. Christians will build systems that the world depends on. Why do you think demonic values are literally overrunning our world? Because all the systems we are using, most of them are built by their agents. So the things they allow in, we have no power to stop it. Social media today has become literally a ground of pornography and violence. On your own, you are scrolling, all kinds of dark things just happening. Because it is built by people who don't have godly values. So you must become a witness. Testify about Jesus in words and in action. And then become a proof producer. Communicate power. Communicate wisdom. Build systems. That's your functionality. You know, a few years ago, when we speak about systems, it looked as if only the elites and the bourgeois could do it. But we are in another economic revolution. You don't need to have all the money to build systems. All you need to do is to download an AI platform. Upgrade it. That AI can teach you where there are problems. It can teach you how to build a system. It can teach you how to market it. So you are in a world where you have no excuse. Today I see people who are brainless and morally bankrupt. They are stars. People are even struggling to associate with them. And I am marveled. How come? Somebody who can't talk well, who is not educated, who don't have any moral value to copy. People are fighting to associate with. Today you see Satanists, they are stars. Somebody just comes, pierce every part of his body, draws strange things, and he has followers. And you who carry light, you still fold your hand and say, that YouTube, how then they use themselves? Meanwhile, you should have been the one to build the YouTube. You have not built it. Now you can't use it. And every day they are looking for who will help them. If somebody comes to you now and say, help me, tell him, go and learn how to use any media platform. Because there are free places to learn it. When you learn, come, I'll give you capital to build something there. Don't dash anybody money again. We are past the era of giving money. When your brain is intact, you have two hands, two legs. We won't help people to waste their destiny. If they are not educated, support them to go to school. Don't help people waste their lives. I see some hefty young men begging. Eye intact, ear intact, brain intact, hand intact, leg intact. I no get food. So what are you doing here? Go walk now. What is I no get food? Praise God. I'm not saying don't be compassionate. Be compassionate, especially to strangers and to handicapped people and to those who are walking. But don't support laziness. Paul said, walk with your hand. He said, if any man does not walk, let him not eat. You are a witness. He said, let your light shine. Don't just have light. Let it shine. Matthew 5:16. See, when we come for a service like this, let's have young people who are making wave in leadership. Let's have young people who are making impact in business. Oh, I built a fintech company. I made 2 billion turnover. That's what we're talking about. So that they have empowerment to advance kingdom. Those crusades, how much is it? Okay, take $100 million. Start from there. I'm talking, I beg, give me food. in 2026. We should have young people who are taking cities, tearing revival. I just came from a village, they bought the shrine. 2,000 people gave their heart to Christ. Those are the things we should hear. Records of good report, records of mighty deeds. I have young people. Yeah, I was invited to speak at the United Nations. And when I was speaking, I showed them Christian values. That's what we are talking about. So we pray is good. We hear the word is good. This is the time to apply it. You are a witness. Number two, functionality. You are a disciple. Matthew 28:19. Go ye therefore into all the world and teach all nations. Disciple all nations. Verse 19. And he said, teaching them all that you have received from me. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth. We must come to a point where we understand and obey kingdom principles and the ways of God, and we teach others. So you are a doctor, you are a lawyer, you are a banker, you are a political figure. You must, no physical position exonerates you from discipleship. Submit to the word of God. Submit to the principles of the kingdom. Submit to the values of the kingdom. Submit to the ways of the kingdom. Don't become a senator and say, when I came here, after every plenary session, we go for a party. And I saw that they are drinking. Me too, I took small. With the shared money, so I took my own. Money meant for your constituency. Don't be like that. The Bible said in Romans 15:4, the things that are written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. It was written for your learning that Daniel refused to be defied. That's why it was written for us, so that we remain disciples. And then we teach others. You think these people don't know when they see a firebrand? They know. And light will always dominate darkness. They can't stop you. You stop them. Number three, your functionality. Become a steward. You function as a steward. The grace is given to you. It's not for you to show yourself. It's for you to harness them so that they glorify God, so that they bless humanity. Then they can profit you. If you have any gift, any grace, any capacity, and it's not glorifying God or helping humanity, you are not a good steward. The Bible commands that we must function as stewards. 1 Peter 4:10. It says, as every man had received gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Corinthians 4:1-2, Paul said, we are servants of God, therefore we are ministers. We are ministers of God. He said, let a man account of us as ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. I'm a steward. And in verse 2 he said, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. To what extent have you stewarded this your charismatic gift? To what extent have you stewarded these resources God gave you? To what extent have you stewarded this wisdom God gave you? To what extent have you stewarded these relationships God gave you? It's not just about having a car, living in luxury and materialism, and snapping pictures, telling people how you are enjoying. This eyeglass is called this. This watch is called this. I'm in Dubai. I'm just on the beach. What is that? They say a man's life does not constitute in the multitude of his possessions. But those possessions must be stewarded for God to be glorified. Yeah, I just made $2 billion. Life is good. How does the kingdom benefit? How does humanity benefit? Money is wasting with you. You must become a steward. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? If you are something, we will know. Your life would have glorified God to a point where you can't be hidden. Your life should have impacted humanity to a point where you shouldn't be hidden. That you need to ask if we know who you are means you are nothing. Praise God. You know, this may not mean more to you until you start going up. Because when you start going up, the requirements become more strict. God didn't make you a world leader, an influential person, so that you can make money and enjoy life. That's the byproduct. Glorify Him. Impact humanity. Finally, you must be a fruit bearer. Our functionality is for to bear fruit. And bearing fruit implies making undeniable impact. When He created the first man, He had everything in abundance. So fruit bearing is not plenty. But God still said, be fruitful. That means make impact. Make your mark. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. Amazingly, after God blessed man, the first instruction He gave man, Genesis 1:28 is, be fruitful. Make impact. Number two, fruit bearing means convert men to righteousness. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and that your fruit will abide. You are a witness. That's your functionality. You are a steward. You are a disciple. And you are a fruit bearer. I don't believe in a church where crowd just gather. And I'm feeling that we are doing well. We are the biggest church in the city. I believe in a church where everybody comes into their stature. You know who you are. You know your status in the kingdom. And you are playing your part. That's when the ecclesia will assume its full stature and meaning. Glory to God. What is your destination? Number one, to be conformed to Christ. All these things is designed not for you to enjoy, as it were. You will enjoy, nonetheless, but all these things are designed so that at the end you become like Jesus. Your destination is conformity. Romans 8:29, Him that He foreknew, the same He called, that He might be conformed to the image of the Son, that He, that is the Son, might become firstborn amongst many brethren. If you don't become like Christ, you have not arrived. Number two, what's the destination? To walk in glory. To come into the God class. So that you're at the end of your life, and while you are yet living, you are in the God realm. The God class is what defines you. You have come to your family. He said you have come to Mount Zion. Hebrews 12:22-24. That's the glorified order of existence. Live from heaven. You are an ambassador on earth, but live from heaven. Your reality should stem from heaven. That's your destination. Glory. Verse 30 of Romans 8 that we just read. Him that He predestinated, He also called. Him that He called, He justified. And Him that He justified, He glorified. So God expects you to live in God's class. Function in God's class. That's your destination. Number three, what's your destination? Reward. At the end of it all, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive of Him what we have done with what He made us and what He gave us. 2 Corinthians 5:10 and 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Timothy 4:7-8. I have fought a good fight. That was Paul. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He said, there remaineth for me. There remaineth for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love is appearing. All these things we talk about, at the end is for you to become like Jesus. That you are wind, nothing can destroy you. That you are fire, that you are light, you know you have influence. It's not showmanship. It's so that you become like Christ. It's so that you operate in the God class. And it's so that at the end of the day, there is a basis for rewarding you. You will not miss your destination. At the end, you will not miss your destination. This is the word of the Lord. And heaven and earth will pass away. Not one jot or tittle will fall to the ground. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what the glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Stretch them in my direction. From today, that seed of smallness that has bedeviled you is broken. By the authority of the word I plant into you now, the seed of kingdom greatness. From today, every force, every influence, and every power that has resisted your destiny, I stand on the efficacy of God's word, and I decree their operation is declared null and void in Jesus' mighty name. I release upon you right now the grace to stand out, the grace for impact, the grace for influence, the grace for distinction, the grace for excellence, and the grace for kingdom advancement. Receive it now! From today, may your kingship become visible. May your priesthood become visible. May your witness become visible. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Everywhere you go, the power to bring the kingdom, I release it upon you now. Take in the name of Jesus. Fear is banished. Anxiety is banished. Uncertainty is banished. You are the called of God.
You are the redeemed of the Lord. As you say so, God will prove it. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will not struggle to prove that you are light. Light will shine from you naturally. You will not struggle to show that you are wind. The potentials of the wind will flow out of you. You will not struggle to show that you are fire. The dimensions of fire will flow out of you. You will not struggle to show you are salt. The essence of salt will manifest to you. And you will not struggle to show you are a stone. The dimensions of a stone, I decree, they begin to manifest through you. You will not struggle to show you are a son. The authority of the son is conferred on you. You will not struggle to show you are a priest. The dimensions of a priest, it rests upon you. You will not struggle to show you are a king. Receive your scepter now. You will not struggle to show you are an ambassador. You will carry that glory. You will carry that essence. You will carry that dimension. Receive it now. You will bear fruit. You will witness. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I say you will bear fruit. You will witness. In the name of Jesus. You will function as a disciple indeed. In the name of Jesus. Arise, shine. Your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Gentiles, come to your light. Kings, come to the brightness of your rising. Somebody is beginning to solve impossible situations. They will know you as a solution provider. Somebody will begin to create experiences that are divine, and men will press for it. Somebody is beginning to generate answers. Answers to your generation. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. From today, you will not carry the mark of a religious man. They will not just know you go to church. They will know you are like Christ. They will know you are like Christ. They will not just know you pray. They will know you represent and you manifest kingdom. Receive it now! You are blessed. You are lifted. Now, let the glorious face of your life begin to manifest. Come out of obscurity. Come out of the pit. Stand in your throne. Stand in your regalia. Stand in your status. In the name of Jesus.